Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. On a regular basis, perhaps several times yearly, the ministry receives very angry emails from people on different heretical stances that they have chosen erroneously to believe, such as annihilation or the ceasing of the soul to exist, and that they're seeking to convince themselves and others that hell is not eternal, it's not eternally conscious torment like the Bible says. And so recently a guy was emailing me frantically, and he's trying to go into the Greek and, you know, the Hebrew, Sheol, and all of the words that we translate to mean hell in the Bible. L. Ray Smith is one such devil from hell. He's already passed away. He's already in hell. Arnold Murray, another devil from hell, teaching another gospel, a false soul sleep or annihilation heretical gospel. These men are accursed, according to Galatians 1. Also, emergent wolves, the wolves of the emergent church, also teach this heresy, as well as the Jehovah Witness cult and perhaps the Seventh-day Adventists. I'm not remembering exactly if they teach this. So what I did, I'm not going to argue with people like that very long, because the Bible tells us not to waste time on them. Jesus actually said, "Let them alone." That's actually a quote. Jesus said to his disciples concerning false teachers, "Let them alone." And that's going to be found in Matthew 15:14. "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch." So anyone who is being led by such people are allowing themselves to be incapacitated into falsehoods like this are going to go to hell with the false teachers that they actually follow and adhere to and support. And that's what we learn in 2 John verse 10 and 11. They bid Godspeed to them, and they're going to be partakers of their evil deeds. In other words, they're going to be judged with the false prophets that they actually don't correct and rebuke and depart from, but they actually acquiesce to and follow. That's what people don't realize, perhaps, about the actual gravity, the severity of bidding Godspeed to false teachers. You're going to hell with them. Notice Titus 3:10, "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject." That's a command of God. After you've addressed them once and twice, you are to reject them. That is the command of God. You can't talk somebody into the truth if they're not going to receive it. Verse 11, Titus 3, "Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." See, these people make their own deliberate decisions to believe these things contrary to the Word of God, because they don't love the Lord. If they loved the Lord and knew the Lord, they would be adhering to His Word, which in this case speaks contrary to what they're speaking. Now, to this man who is insisting that hell is not eternal and it's going to end and it's not going to be eternal suffering, I simply copied and pasted Mark 9:43-49. I love this text. We got to get in this text and share it, Saints, because 99.9% of pastors are never going to visit these words from Jesus. This is Jesus teaching on hell and all the specifics, many of the specifics about it concerning the very thing we're dealing with, of whether or not here in this specific message, whether or not hell is eternal and it's going to be eternal suffering. Jesus makes it more than clear, and he repeats himself over and over to make sure that we receive it. And like this man, don't try to make a way around what he said. See, that's what ungodly people do. Paul said, "We are not as many Notice Paul said there were many which corrupt the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and that is going to be verse 17, I believe. We're not like many or as many who corrupt the word of God. Now, one of the reasons why these fake modern pastors and preachers all over social media won't preach on what Jesus said about eternal damnation, that's the term he himself used in Mark 3:29, Jesus had a whole lot to say about hell, more than he had to say about heaven, and he goes into great details we're going to see in this coming passage I'm going to read. And secondarily to that being the message, I'm also going to talk a little bit about why we don't hear this message preached. It's because it's not in the fake Bibles that these modern day pastors, many of them being seminarians, it's not in their so-called Bibles. I don't honor those as Bibles. I honor the King James Bible personally as the preserved Word of God, taken straight from the manuscripts, the aggregate manuscripts, which make up over 95% of all the manuscripts in existence. You see, it's really not about the King James Bible as it is about the underlying manuscripts. And the new versions are almost without exception taken from the perverted manuscripts, which began to be perverted. Well, I don't know if that was the beginning of the perversion of them, but in the 1850s and 60s, you had two godless perverts who did not like what the Word of God said. So they changed it like their father, the devil, who began all the way in the Garden of Eden, changing the Word of God. Anybody that has any part in casting doubt on, hath God said, remember that one, Genesis 3:1, or changing, adding to or taking away from the Word of God, is a diabolical operative without exception. And you know, I always change the channel when I'm listening to some fraud that's going to correct the King James Bible. I just like, it's hard to fathom the utter arrogance of such a man. Well, a better translation would be, oh, you know better than the God-ordained translators of the King James Bible. Isn't that interesting? Boom, change it. I'm done. That's my conviction, folks. You got to make your own convictions. My convictions aren't based on preference. They're based on comparison. Several decades of comparing the versions side by side. You know, we got all kinds of stuff on this topic on the Bible versions category on safeguardyoursoul.com. But this text here in the end of Mark 9 does not exist in these new versions because it's been removed as Satan, the author of those versions, would have it. You got to wonder about people that say, well, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, so it doesn't matter what Bible you read. Okay, then go get the Satanic Bible if that's the truth. And then answer me this question. If you know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, who is not the author of confusion, how could you possibly believe that he would have anything at all? The Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, would have anything at all to do with a version that corrupted what he said. Tell me, how? How can you justify that? See, it's because you love yourself and you want your wicked, unrepentant ears tickled. I don't know about you, and I think I've talked to a lot of Christians over the years, like myself, that have, upon being saved, even though nobody had said anything about there being a true Bible and false Bibles, like myself, many of you knew inside, because of the Holy Spirit, that it's not the same. There are major doctrinal differences in these corrupted, quote-unquote, Bibles. I knew that long before anybody told me, and it only came to light when we were reading together Romans 8:1, and we discovered that the NASB, supposedly that means the New American Standard Bible, which is completely corrupted. NASB really stands for North American Sinner Bible, would be more like it. But anyway, and the story goes on, and I talk about that on some of the other podcasts under the Bible versions category. So that's why they're not preaching hell. They're certainly not preaching this most extensive and devastating truth tirade. That's probably not the best word, but litany of details about hell that our Lord Jesus is talking about. We'll end here in a minute with a little bit more on the New Age Bible versions and how Satan sent them in to corrupt the way of Americans and Westerners and to destroy the foundations of our nation. Let me tell you, if you're going to go to the foundation of any destruction in this country, it begins with Satan introducing through his Vatican Jesuit operatives, these new Vatican Bibles, all the new versions are Vatican corrupted and controlled Bibles that came from the Vatican corrupted manuscripts. Lots of detailed info on Safeguard Your Soul on the Bible versions heading on that one. So if the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? It tells us there in, I believe it's Psalm 11:3. Now notice what Jesus said concerning hell. And this is what I sent to the guy that, well, we've had many of them, but this one who recently is trying to find a way around hell being conscious eternal torment. In that, instead of repenting and getting right with God so that Jesus can forgive him and, you know, regenerate him and give him a clear conscience, he's going to go ahead and spend all his time trying to get into the Greek and find something to, quote unquote, prove that hell is not eternal and it's not conscious torment for eternity. But no Greek needed, folks, ever. No Greek or Hebrew ever needed. God gave us his word as he promised in our own language. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. The word of God is preserved for us, and God gave us his word in our language so that we could know it as he promised. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. We have people that are so deceived, they think that, or they complain, if you will, because they complain that they can't understand the Bible in the King James Version. And these same people supposedly can understand Greek and Hebrew and tell you, you have to know the Greek and the Hebrew. Anybody that says that is completely deceived and needs to repent. Because first of all, they're denying the Lord by saying he did not give us his word in our own language. And Bible says God is not the author of confusion. So why would God give us his own word in our language so that we couldn't understand it? Unbelievable stupidity here we're dealing with, folks. So they claim they can't understand the King James Bible, but supposedly they can understand Greek enough to correct the King James Bible. Unbelievable. Unbelievable audacity. I put together a meme. It says this: so you claim to not be able to understand the King James Bible in your own language you've learned and been speaking from birth, and then you turn around and claim that in order to understand God's word in our language, someone needs to study and know two additional dead languages, such as Hebrew and Greek. This is utterly delusional. You see, God fulfilled his promise to give us his word in our own language. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. The King James Bible is the seventh English Bible in perfect fulfillment of this. Then it says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Also, someone else has a beautiful meme talking about the originals. Where is the perfect word of God? Some would tell you, you have to know the original or have the originals, the original manuscript. Fact, none of the originals exist. Fact, originals were never collated together in one book. Fact, originals, the original manuscripts, were written in three dead languages. What would God do if the originals ceased to exist? Believe it or not, it happened. Read Jeremiah 36. God preserved his word. That's what we have in the King James Bible. And he exhorts people in this meme to get a King James Bible, which I will definitely echo that. Here's another one that some disciple of Jesus put together. It says, in the Greek, quote unquote, people say, the pastor is saying, you need me to give you the understanding, creating doubt about God's word. When they say, well, in the Greek, it says, you know, depending on the Greek, wow, that's deception. Just another way of saying that God can't speak English. It is a total lack of faith to think that God can't give us a perfect English Bible, especially when none of the originals exist. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Mark 13:30-31. Now, did Jesus lie to us, friends? Yes or no? Some people want to believe we don't really have the word of God because they don't want to be accountable to it. And that's what all of this demonic, evil casting of doubt, like these, what we call agnostics. They are Bible agnostics, or people who believe that God exists, but don't believe he stayed active. They believe he dropped the ball. He wasn't active in history, when the Bible tells us different, that the Lord reigns reigns in the kingdoms of men. He orders everything. All things work together at all times to the good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Also, we read in Daniel that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. God doesn't ever sleep or slumber. Psalms chapter 121, I believe. He doesn't sleep or slumber, folks. God didn't drop the ball. That's an evil indictment on a holy and loving God. And I wouldn't have any part to do with that if I were you. And you can look this one up. It's called Bible Agnostics Exposed by Will Kinney on safeguardyoursoul.com. He does a good job in this thing. And I prefaced it by saying, recently someone sent me a post that pretended to prove that the King James Bible is not God's exclusive word for the English-speaking peoples. The first sentence gave away their erroneous position. The writer was saying that only the original manuscripts were inspired, which is an unmitigated lie that denies that God kept his word, his promise to preserve his word to us in our language in Psalm 12, 6, and 7. That goes against everything we know about God, by the way, in the Bible. To say he dropped the ball and we really don't have his word. We sure do. That's the message of Satan, who came to take away the word of God. Mark 4 verse 15. That's what Jesus said. It's Satan behind the removal, the casting of doubt, or the adding to of the word of God. The Bible assures us that anyone who participates in any way in taking away or adding to the word of God is going to receive the plagues of Revelation, including the lake of fire, and their name is going to be removed from the book of life. If that isn't severe enough, I don't know what is. They're going to hell. They're going to the lake of fire. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. So this is what we call Bible agnosticism, where some people believe that God exists and yet is not active in the affairs of men and has basically forsaken his creation. It's demonic to say that or to even in any way embrace that false notion. They claim he lied by not preserving his word to us in our language, which he said he would do in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, which we just read. That's ridiculous. It's sinful unbelief. And if you believe the demonic notion that somehow God Almighty dropped the ball and didn't follow all the way through with giving this generation his very word in our own language, then you are a Bible agnostic. You are calling God a liar and you are a hell-bound devil. And God is calling you to repent now, sinner, before it's too late. And that segment there, as we move forward here in our main text, Mark 9, 43 through 50, that segment there was to underscore why we don't hear hell preached in these modern churches, where these false prophets are preaching out of these lame fairy tale corruptions called Bible, these new Bible versions. It's because the message of hell isn't even in those so-called Bibles. It's been stripped out. And this is one example where they removed this whole section of the last part of Mark 9, which is in the original Greek manuscript, and therefore it's in the King James Bible. And by the way, the King James Bible is the only English Bible that was honest enough, the translators, to put in italics any word that had to be added due to, you know, translation from one language to another, which is always going to have word, you know, minimally, hopefully, but like as the case is the case with the King James Bible, it's the Bible. I don't call it a translation personally, and I don't call it a version. I call it the KJB, King James Bible, because it's actually God's preserved word. And anyone who compares them and has an honest heart is going to find the same thing. So notice concerning what was removed from the new versions as and is in the real Bible, the King James Bible, you've got Jesus speaking and repeating himself over and over and making it more than crystal clear and self-evident that hell is eternal and it's eternal suffering that's going to be conscience. Somebody's conscience, nobody's conscience is ever going to end, whether you're in heaven or hell. You're always going to be conscious. Now, those in heaven are going to be experiencing eternal bliss and comfort. And the many, which is most people, that are going to go to hell, and they're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire, as we read in the New Testament, those very words. Now, notice this, Mark 9, I'm just going to read this, and notice how Jesus makes it so clear that hell is eternal and their worm dieth not. That means he's saying their worm dieth not. You can look up, that's an idiom simply meaning that their consciousness is never going to cease. Notice verse 43, Mark 9, not to be found in the fake Bibles, but it's in the real Bible, the King James Bible. And if thy hand offend thee, talking about the severity of stopping all sin, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed, go to heaven with not all of your limbs or whatever, in this case cut off your hand, then having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Is that clear or is that clear? Of course. Jesus meant what he said. And people are trying to figure out ways, you know, manipulate and, you know, to make Jesus's words not say what they actually say. Isn't that amazing? That's a dishonest, evil, wicked, unrepentant person who would do that. Because the Bible said, Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's words. He doesn't try to change them. He hears them and obeys them. John 8:47. Ye therefore hear them not because you are not of God. See, if they're not going to hear this, that's why you're to forsake them, reject them, violently cut them off. As we read earlier in Titus 3:10, they are wicked. Ye therefore hear them not, he told the false religionists of his day, of which we have so many today, such as these people that email me trying to find a way around hell being eternal, suffering, conscious, and then attacking me because I won't oblige, I won't cater to their own unrepentant evil heart. You see, the Bible says that in the last day, we're to preach the word, by the way, be instant in season or out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure, that means hold themselves accountable to, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall be turned away from the truth and turned to fables or stories because of their own unrepentant heart. It's right there. It's right there. 2 Timothy 2:2-4. So notice, how do we know that's a matter of the heart? Well, and that's unrepentant. Well, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but here it is. But after their own lust, there it is. They have unrepentant hearts. It's after their own heart lust that they don't want to deal with the truth. So they'll attack you and go run to some one of the many or several of the many false teachers of today in this last hour, which was prophesied also. All right, so Jesus said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. For their worm dieth where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Not only did he say their consciousness, their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. It's unquenchable. It will never be quenched. We all learned in science class growing up that there's a molten mass in the center of the earth. Well, now we know from reading the Bible, okay, which is always true without exception, science is many times false. If science contradicts the Bible, science is absolutely false. And it has done that more times than can be counted throughout history. So the Bible tells us, Jesus told us he was going to go into the heart of the earth. Matthew 12, I believe it's about verse 40, like Jonah went into the bowels of the whale. But notice this, Jesus tells us why we know there's a molten mass in there is because the Bible tells us that hell is in the center of the earth. Hell is not on earth. I don't like using that term. A lot of people say, you know, I've been through hell. You haven't been through hell. No matter what you've suffered on this earth, it is absolute pure comfort and bliss compared to what's going on in the bowels of eternal damnation, as is so much, so clearly detailed in the writings of Scripture. So notice Jesus said, Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. It is said that there are 49 Bible verses which reveal that hell is located in the heart of the earth. Here's two more of them, Numbers 16:32-33. And the earth opened her mouth. Think about the molten mass we all learned about in science growing up. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, these people that rebelled against God, that is. This is Numbers 16, verse 32 and 33. Notice the earth opened her mouth. This is a miracle from God, and swallowed them up and their houses. I think that means their family and all the men that appertained unto Korah, a false teacher, and all their gods. Here's more proof that all false teachers and those who follow them are as sure for hell as if they were already there. You better check things out, folks, and know that what you're listening to is the Word of God and not some man's false doctrines, notions, philosophies, or opinion. You better check me out just like the Bereans checked Paul out. It better be Scripture and only Scripture. And by the way, if we're off base in any way, info@safeguardyoursoul.com, please show me. Thank you. Verse 33, number 16, they and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit and the earth. You want to talk about the pit of hell? Well, there's the Bible authority on that right there. And notice they went down. That's where hell is, in the heart of the earth. Right now, you're on top of the earth. You may be driving your car. You may be sitting at your house or a coffee shop or something. You're on top of the earth, not in the earth. In the earth is a molten mass. And God created that to be the prison of fire for all who rebel against Him, all who do not die in Christ without exception. They and all that appertained to them went down, notice the direction, alive. They went down alive, miracle of God, into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from the congregation. Wow, here's another one, Ezekiel 26:20. When I shall bring thee down, notice that word again, down, with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth. That's where hell is, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit. Notice again, they go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. That's Ezekiel 26:20. Nothing on earth in this life could possibly compare to the horrific details of hell that we see vividly described in Holy Scripture. Scripture, as you know, friends, reminds or warns us of another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. 2 Corinthians, actually, chapter 11, verse 2 through 5. And so the Word of God is clear about hell being in the literal, in the heart of the earth, and a place of punishment for all rebels who die outside of the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the nail-scarred, risen Savior. And some of the descriptions we read about in hell, as I just read quick resume of them before we bounce back to our main passage in the end of Mark 9. Notice Luke 16:25. Hell is a place of complete consciousness, all feelings. Luke 16:19 through 31 has a lot of details about hell concerning a literal man who died, a rich man on earth, who is now in hell, been there at least 2,000 years, and will forever be there and never escape, nor will he lose any consciousness, and will always feel the flames of the domain of the damned and the lake of fire, which hell will be cast into in the future. Revelation 20. Also, another thing about hell, Revelation 14:10, torment with fire and brimstone. Also, weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 8:12. I would think in part that the gnashing of teeth has to do, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, and never be a smile in hell, by the way. There will never be any joy or any drop of water. There'll be great remorse, weeping and gnashing of teeth, in part at least, seems to lend itself to that understanding. All right, also, hell is a place of eternal remorse, devastating regret, as we read in Luke 16:25. It's a place of torments, Luke 16:23. Revelation 14:11, no rest day or night forever in hell. It's eternal misery. And that's specifically speaking to those who take the mark of the beast. They cannot be saved after they do that, even though John MacArthur says they can. He's a false teacher. Run for your life. Matthew 13:42, a furnace of fire with wailing. You ever hear somebody scream in utter distress, like from the depth of their being? That is scary. That's what hell's going to be about, and it's never going to end or diminish. It's a place of everlasting burnings, Isaiah 33:14. It's going to be cast into the lake or the ocean of fire, Revelation 20:15. Also, unquenchable fire, Luke 9:45, we're getting ready to read that one. Outer darkness or blinding separation and loneliness. Matthew 22:13, that was Jesus who said that. Jesus is the one who taught most of this. So to not teach this is to deny Christ, period. Also, Luke 16:26, no second chance to escape utter hopelessness. Psalm 18:5, a place of sorrows, or again, seething remorse and despair, a place of everlasting destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Bouncing back here, we're picking up in verse 45 of our passage, our main passage, as we come in for a close, where Jesus is making it more than obvious that hell is eternal and that sin should be dealt with severely so that you don't go there, where the fire is never going to be quenched and your worm is never going to cease. It dieth not. It's never going to cease. That means your consciousness. Verse 45, Mark 9, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Get rid of it. Get anything out of your life that causes you to sin. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell. Jesus is painting a picture of how severe hell is going to be and how severely we must deal with our sin. And let me ask you something. Have you fasted lately, friend? You should have a regular day of fasting at least every week. Jesus said, when you fast, in Matthew 6:16, I personally, as one human being, don't know how anybody can live in a place of holiness or separated unto the Lord outside of killing the flesh. God gave you everything you need by the cross, and fasting is the cross. So you're crying out for more of God and less of you. He must increase, but I must decrease. John 3:30. Jesus continues, then having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, first he says the hand, then the foot, and now the eye. If thine eye, and those have significance. We're not going to unpack them right now today, but you know, these are all your extremities, if you will. And if your hand's reaching out to steal or do anything sinful, if your foot is taking you in directions and to places that are causing you to offend, if your eye is looking at things, lusting, that cause you to offend, they must be removed from your being. In other words, those things that are causing you to err, to go in those directions, to do those things at the source must be dealt with. And the heart is the source. And so we must live crucified lives. You're not going to go to heaven unless you follow Jesus on his prescription, which is the cross, the crucified life. Memorize Galatians 2:20 today and declare it, obviously from the King James Bible, friend. Write it on an index card and live the crucified life. Repent afresh, follow Jesus, and you do that with the cross that he commissioned and commanded you to take up, to live the crucified life. That's the only way that you're going to overcome these things that he's talking about. Because the wages of sin is death. I know nobody says it anymore. Why is nobody talking about it? Because it's going to send you to hell. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall be separated from God. But brother, the blood of Jesus paid for all my sin. But that blood's not applied to you if you're not walking in the light. 1 John 1:7. God doesn't say you're saved, and so he's stretching his saving grace over your life to the end, no matter what, no matter how you live. Why would Jesus have said you got to endure to the end to be saved? Why would Paul have said, and that's a condition, and you got to participate, by the way. Okay, why would 5 of the virgins that were espoused to the bridegroom Jesus have been shut out of the eternal kingdom if everything was automatic, that you didn't have any personal responsibility ongoing after you got saved? Tell me, how does that fit? It doesn't. It's a lie. Why would Paul have said that he had to keep under his body and bring it into subjection? That's cross. Lest by any means, after he had preached to others, he himself would be cast away from God. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Matthew 25:46. Tell me. See, salvation is conditional. It's not unconditional. It requires you engaging in an intimate relationship, obedient, faith-filled, worship-filled relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, brother, you said I got to obey God to be saved. Well, your obedience to God is proving that you truly love him. If you're not obeying him, you don't love him, and you're like one of the foolish virgins who've lost their love for the bridegroom and were shut out of the eternal kingdom, Matthew 25:1-13. argue with the word of God if you want. I'm not going to join you. And if thy eye offend thee, verse 47, pluck it out. I want you to read this passage, friends. None of the stuff we ever talk about when you and I spend a few minutes together is exhaustive. Okay, this ought to whet your appetite. Go read this and get this in you by your own eyes getting on it, not just listening to me say it. In the end of Mark 9, and by the way, burn any so-called Bible that doesn't have this passage in it. Just get a King James Bible. Let's get on the same page. Verse 47, if thine eye offend thee, Jesus said, pluck it out. It is better for thee to go into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm consciousness dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Who needs Greek for this? Only somebody who's trying to deny what's so self-evident in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 49, for every one shall be salted with fire. Everybody that goes to hell is going to be salted with fire. Salt is a preservative. They're going to be preserved so they can suffer the vengeance of eternal fire for rejecting the sacrifice of the only begotten Son that God sent, his only begotten Son, and yet you rejected it, and you're going to pay the ultimate price. How shall we escape, the writer of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation? And that so great salvation equals Jesus Christ. And we're not going to escape the fires of eternal damnation without Christ and being one with him, being obedient to him. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21, 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We're saved by grace, and we are his workmanship. And if you don't have good works, it's because you're not saved by grace, or you fell away from grace, which is absolutely possible. Look at the eternal security category on safeguardyoursoul.com. We've got a wealth of information and 3 books on that topic. Verse 49, as we close, for everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Have salt in yourself. In other words, repent and come out of that lukewarm state and obey the words of Jesus and listen to what he's imparting here, which is self-evident in the end of Mark 9, beginning in verse 42, 43, and reading to verse 50. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. And may God instill in each of us and unite our hearts to fear his holy name. Psalm chapter 86, verse 11. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.